Because if you're exhaling when you hug him, you lose all your breath. And if you get into a tangle with a constrictor, you always remember that. Because that's what his objective is to get all the breath out of you. But we touch here. We touch in our wings. Whether it's in the Holy of Holies, and that's where we are tonight. We are in the Shekinah glory of God tonight. The promise is there. The word is there. The provision of God is here. God's authority is here. The perfect mercies of God are in this house tonight. The blood has been sprinkled. And friend of mine, when that veil tore, he made it possible for the Holy of Holies to be experienced anywhere on the face of the earth. Praise God. So we have come to the Holy of Holies tonight in praise and in worship and in covenant with God. And we are the cherubs that look at one another, not because of our wins and losses or our successes and failures, but we look at one another over the blood, and we're standing on the mercies, and we've been hammered, fashioned out of the pure gold of the mercy seat. And our eyes are locked on one another. And our wings are touching, and we're having spiritual fellowship in the house tonight. Well, praise God. Somebody that's glad to be a part of the church of the living God, clap your hands and lift up your voice and magnify him. When I think of his goodness, when I think about where I could be tonight, I think I'd probably be moldering under the ground with John Brown's body. I don't know about you, but he's brought us a long, long way, Brother Josh. Tonight, we're so glad to be a part of the church of the living God. And pursuing this, the wings are that spiritual typology, your spiritual nature. And they were stretched upward. And two wings of every one were joined to another. And here they are, like they are in the Holy of Holies, in the cherubim covering the mercy seat. Here they are linked together. They've got wings up and wings out with one another, indicative of your vertical relationship and your horizontal relationship, your vertical spiritual relationship with God. Wings upward, always wings upward. Praise God. I don't care how hard you work or what kind of work you do, how successful you are, what life is doing to you, how tough the last valley has been. Don't ever lose sight of your spiritual nature. Keep those wings up. My God, it's not a day for folding your wings and breaking out your manly hands and backing away from the house of God. Well, I just don't feel like being in the house of God tonight. No, I just don't feel like praying today. No, I've got to have my wings stretched up. I don't know when he's coming. And I don't know where I'm going, but I know today I've got to be a Holy Ghost filled child of God, alive in the spirit, connected to God. You may have political connections, but you need your connection with God. You may have connection with money, but you need connection with God. You better have those wings stretched up. I'm telling you, Paul said, I would that all men everywhere would lift up holy hands without wrath or doubting. David said, I will lift up my hands in the sanctuary. I'm telling you, that is a natural representation of those spiritual qualities that we have. Lift up your wings right now and touch the face of God here for just a little bit tonight. Hallelujah. 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 Do some of you have trouble with the application here? That you've got wings? That you've got a spiritual nature? Paul's fussing at the church at Corinth and says, don't you know you're going to judge angels? Why are you taking one another to court? Don't you know? Isn't there somebody among you that can make a wise decision? He said, don't you know you're going to be ruling and reigning with God for 1,000 years and judging angels? And can't you settle this in the church? How dare you take one another to court? You need to get oriented toward this new job description. It's going to blow your mind when the trump sounds and you step out of this body and over into the other side. Touch wings with somebody. Well, praise God. So tell me, what's the most powerful part of your experience? Your hands or your wings? It's got to be your wings. Can't be your hands. Can't be. I'll tell you what. What your hands can do, the world can take away. What your hands can do, you can lose in a moment of time. And no matter how strong or valuable or artistic or able or capable or adroit your hands might be, age will come and trauma can come and trouble can come. And if you live long enough, those hands will curl up and they won't be strong. And you'll be fussing in the kitchen because you can't get the bottle open. And you'll be hurling those childproof bottles across the room. Because they're not only childproof, they're elderproof. Because your hands get weak. But as I stood with Sister Riggs this morning in that emergency room at Medical Center East, she said, those little nurses thought I was nuts. I said, well, what were you doing, Sister Riggs? She said, I got to hurting, I got to praying, and I got to praying in tongues. And I didn't care who heard me in there. Let me tell you, life will take you some places your hands can't get you out of, but your wings can take you to another level altogether. My God, if somebody in the house knows that tonight, give God some glory and some praise for it. Have strong hands. Have capable hands. But have wings that have been worked in prayer and worked in praise. Wings that are developed and powerful. Well, praise God. You know that if you don't use something that you have in the way of an attribute or a skill, you'll lose it. If we tied one of your arms down to your body and kept it that way for a number of weeks, you'd be amazed at the atrophy that would set in. And one of the most horrible scourges of the apostolic church is people who have the Holy Ghost and don't pray in tongues regularly. Who have a covenant with God but don't have a prayer life. And your wings that you got when you prayed through that were big like angel's wings. Huge wings like Frank Peretti talks about in all of his darkness books. Big wings. It's been so long since you've had a move of God in your life, your wings are like chicken wings now. And you're trying to rise up on high like an eagle. And you can't get off the ground because your wings have atrophied. And don't tell me they won't do it. If you don't use what God has given you, it will shrink. It will diminish. But the good news is there's an altar in the house of God tonight. There's another day. God is always ready. The mercies of God are new every morning. You can come alive again in the spirit. You need to get those wings up and connected with God. We talked about Sunday night, the wings connecting one to another. And we're not going to pursue that. But in the middle of verse 11, two wings of every one were joined one to another. And in the last part of verse 11, two covered their bodies. They covered the bodies. Everybody say they covered their bodies. They covered their bodies with their spiritual nature. They weren't flaunting their bodies like the world does. They weren't showcasing their bodies to attract who? They weren't living and dressing and behaving like the world does in order to advertise things that are not for sale. But they humbly and chastely covered themselves with that spiritual nature. The good news here is it doesn't matter what we are in the natural. When we get that spiritual nature, we're linked up with God. We're linked up with our brothers and sisters. And we're hidden. We're hidden beneath the wonderful gift of God. Somebody say praise the Lord. Don't accentuate the natural. Accentuate the spiritual. Don't accentuate your body. I don't care if you can bench press 400 pounds. If you can, good. Every good thing in the world comes from that kind of stuff. You build bigger bones. You're less prone to cancer. Work out all you want. Run like a Trojan. Be strong and be able and be fit and do all those kinds of things. But as you walk among men and as you walk before God, cover yourself with that spiritual nature, with that quiet and peaceable spirit. Let this mind be in you which was in Christ Jesus, who made of himself no reputation, but took on himself the form of a servant. And being obedient unto death, he took on that cross, covered himself. Praise God. Praise God. So you may be the Taekwondo king. Oh, pity some fool that would try to break into this church and cause trouble. Cause trouble. You have no idea people around this house can break bricks and boards with their hands all over this house. This is a dangerous place to cause trouble. Praise God. Some of these kids in this house could kick your head right off your shoulder. Praise God. And do all that you want to do. Jump high, run fast, do all kinds of things. But cover yourself with that spiritual nature. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Do you love God for holiness tonight? Do you love the holiness of God? Plugged in, hooked up, and covered up by a spiritual nature that makes you different than anybody else in the whole world. Praise God. Verse 12, and they went everyone straight forward. Here that business is again, straight on, not turning to the right nor to the left. And whither the Spirit was to go, they went. And they turned not when they went. They were straightforward. They were led by the Spirit. They turned not. They exercised will. Because God doesn't co-opt your will. They by will went forward and straight with the Holy Ghost. They were led of the Spirit. Everybody say led of the Spirit. Praise God. They were led of the Spirit. And it is a quality that you build and that you sharpen and that you work. And you gain alacrity in the Spirit as you use the things of the Spirit. Praise God. The Spirit of God will lead you into prayer. How many of you, when you were very new in the kingdom of God, woke up in the middle of the night speaking in tongues? It's a common experience. It's a common experience. And it's an experience that is almost always associated with new people. Because the Holy Ghost is leading them into prayer. Because after you've been led for a while, he expects you'll have sense enough to pray on your own. But the Spirit of God leads you into prayer. And the flesh always resists prayer because the flesh thinks prayer is a total waste of time. Spirit of God leads you into holiness. The Spirit of God leads you into revival, not deadness. The Spirit of God leads you into worship, not into dignity and poise and reserve. I'm telling you that this is a picture of a New Testament saint of God, and the Spirit of God leads you into revival and worship and prayer and evangelism and all the things that are associated with revival. And if those things are absent from my life, the only deduction I can make is that I'm not being very sensitive to the leading of the Spirit of God. I want to hear from him. I want this to be a revival church. I want your home to be visited by the power of God's revival. I want you as an individual to be bound up in prayer and to be led by God into revival and to be in evangelism all by yourself on the job and in your school, led of the Spirit of God. I was talking to Sister Riggs this morning, and I was trying to get her mind off some of the things that were troubling her, and so I just interviewed her. Sister Riggs, tell me about when you guys came to God. So she started telling me. And every now and then she would stop, Sister Lisa, and she'd go, because that hip was hurting her. I really feel, I've never told her this, but she's a whole lot like my mom. So I really enjoy visiting with her in a situation even like that. And I asked her, I said, well, tell me about it. She said, well, she said, I started feeling like I needed to learn the Bible. And I bought me a Bible for $1. And she said, and I said, you were led of the Holy Ghost to get a Bible. She said, I was. And then she said, I told my husband, and what was his name? Huh? Leroy. Yeah, she said, Leroy. She said, we need to go to church. So she packed him up and they started driving. And she said there were 4 Pentecostal churches in one area there. And she said they drove around. They saw some cars in a parking lot. And she said, something just told me that was the right place to go. Now, she didn't have the Holy Ghost and she didn't know the things of God. But I know and I could tell in her story, she was being led by the Spirit of God. How many of you can look back and see where God led you into a relationship with God? Where God led you to the house of God. Where you could have gone. You might be a Hindu tonight. If God had left it up to you. You might be any number of things tonight. But thank God for the leading of the Spirit of God. And so she said, I went. And she said, that first night I didn't do anything. And I just kind of sat back and I prayed a little bit. But she said the next night they were having revival. And I went back the next night. And the next night I went back and she said, I went down to that altar. And she said, when I went to that altar. Now, this is an 18-year-old girl that never has been around Pentecost and never has been around the church at all. She said, when I went to that altar, the Holy Ghost hit me and I danced and I shouted all over the front of that church and I fell out talking in tongues. That was not learned behavior. She was a Baptist kid. I was raised Southern Baptist. That was not learned behavior. They don't do that there. They are not led of the Spirit there to respond to the Spirit of God or speak in tongues or shout and dance. That's a quick ride out the front door on the arms of the ushers. But she said, I got a good dose. And she did. She got a great dose. She's in her 80s now and the Holy Ghost is still keeping her in a time of trouble. It has kept her in her old age. Praise God. From the time you walked in the door to the time God sounds the trumpet, I'm telling you, there is no way to overemphasize the need to have an acuity to hear and be led of the Spirit of God. These angels are representative of that New Testament believer, and they are straight on. And everywhere the Spirit goes, they go. And everywhere the Spirit leads, they go. And I want this church to be that way. Everywhere the Spirit goes, I want us to go. My God, I want our kids to be led of the Spirit in their schools. I want our young people to be led of the Holy Ghost among their friends. I want you to be led of the Spirit on your job. My God, are you up for that? Well, what if he tells you something you're not comfortable with? And I have been in his presence so much. I am so hooked up with the people of God. And I am so in myself not important because I have covered myself up with the Spirit of God. Listen, if you follow after the template that is given to you here in this representative cherub, you are going to be ready to hear from God. Quick to hear. Praise God. What's God going to do with us as a church in 09? I have no idea. I was just telling him tonight, though, God, just tell us. Whatever you want to do, just tell us. Whatever speakers you want to bring in, whatever evangelism, whatever kind of net you want us to cast, God, whatever you want us, is that your heart? How do you feel about that? Would you like to just have regular old, same old, dull, boring, dried up church? Or would you like to hear from God? Would it be all right to have a move of God on a Wednesday night or on a Friday night at a youth service? My God, I believe God can rain down glory in a house where people hear and are led by the Spirit of God. Well, praise God. Now, chapter 1, verse 13, and I don't know how far we'll go tonight. But as for the likeness of the living creatures, their appearance was like burning coals of fire. Everybody said they were on fire. Praise God. Tell your neighbor, somebody needs to catch on fire. What do we say about energetic new converts that are wild in their worship? Oh, you know he's on fire. What do you say about people that are just witnessing to everybody they come across? Oh, you know how he is. He's just on fire. He was on fire for God. He's on fire for God. And some old Pharisee will say, now listen, you're going to burn up. You got to pace yourself, sweetheart. You're down here doing all this twinkle toe worship like Brother Scales. You're going to burn up. You won't have nothing left for the long night. No. Windraw says, I'd rather burn up than rust out. Well, praise God. Touch your neighbor and say, fire. My God, do you know that there's an analogy between the experience of God in the Old and the New Testament and fire? Have you read it in the Word of God that everywhere God's people congregate, there's always fire? Somebody say, praise the Lord. These have an appearance like burning coals of fire, like the appearance of lamps. Everyone say lamps. And it went up and down among the living creature. Everybody say the lamp went up and down among the living creatures. And the fire was bright. And out of the fire went forth lightning. My God, it's not even enough to be on fire. There's something higher than that. There's a threshold where you can reach where you're cooking and got the fire of God cranking in a house and lightning breaks forth. I don't know what in the world that is, how to categorize that, but I really want it to break loose here. I want lightning and I want God to thunder in the house. Exodus chapter 15, when Abraham meets with God and God is telling him your seed's going to be like the stars of the heavens. And Abraham believes God, and that's Genesis. And Abraham believes God, but he says, now, God, how can I know that this is going to happen? Is there some way that I can tell that this is going to happen? And verse 8 in chapter 15 of Genesis. How shall I know that I shall inherit it? And God tells him, look, take a heifer and a she-goat and a ram and a turtle dove. Verse 10, he took unto him all these and divided them in the midst and laid each piece against one another. Everybody say he laid out the sacrifice. And verse 11, fowls came down upon the carcasses and Abraham drove them away. When you lay out a sacrifice to God, there's always going to be some competing idea or something that seeks to come and take away the sacrifice off your altar. But Abraham got out there and all the day, all the afternoon, and until God began to move, Abraham drove away the fowls. That's your job, is to put the sacrifice out. God is about to give him a revelation of how he's going to know that he's going to be the one that... God brings forth a great nation out of. Verse 12, the sun is going down. A deep sleep falls on Abraham. A horror of great darkness falls upon him. Verse 13, and he said, and God said to Abraham, know of a surety that your seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs. He's predicting, or he's prophesying to Abraham about the captivity in Egypt for 400 years. Verse 14, and that nation they will serve, I will judge, and afterward they'll come out with great substance. Verse 15, but you're going to go down to your fathers in peace and be buried in a good old age. And you won't even see this, Abraham. You're going to die. And what he did, he answered Abraham and gave Abraham an answer that it was so far out in the far reaches of the spiritual that Abraham could not even begin to grasp what God was telling him. But it serves. This is where Joseph gets the idea that they're going to come out of the land of Egypt. And he said, listen, one day you're going to go out. Take my bones with you when you go. This is the prophecy that Joseph uses for that. But down in verse 17 is where we're going. And when the sun went down, it was dark. And behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp. And everyone say that passed between those pieces. Where did the lamp pass? It passed between the pieces of the sacrifice. In the definition or the description of the cherubs there in Ezekiel chapter 1, where did the lamps pass? They passed between the cherubs. They passed between those that were given and yielded to God. There was fire there on Abraham's altar. In Leviticus chapter 9, Moses and Aaron lay out the first sacrifice there that is going to be the altar of the tabernacle of God. And Aaron had just gotten down off of that altar when fire came out of the presence of God and blew up, lit up that altar and burned up that sacrifice. And that was going to be the fire that they were going to carry with them now on their journey in the wilderness. God rained down fire one time, and then it was their job in the fire pans to carry the coals of that fire everywhere they would go in all of their wilderness wanderings. And when you move down into the next chapter in Leviticus, the boys of Aaron, Aaron's sons, Nadab and Abihu, they go into the temple or the tabernacle, and they don't go back and take fire off the altar of God that came from God. They get down into the tabernacle and they're too lazy to go back and get that God-given fire, and they strike up what the Bible calls a strange fire before the Lord, and instantly fire comes out of the presence of God and smites them down and kills them. And he won't let Aaron and he won't let Moses mourn for those kids, because he was telling them, look, I gave you fire. You can't strike the fire that you need. The fire on the altar of incense, which is your prayer and your praise, it has to come from the altar of sacrifice. And that fire comes from the hand of God when your sacrifice is acceptable. When Abraham laid out an acceptable sacrifice, there was fire that moved between the pieces like a smoking lamp. When Aaron and Moses laid out the appropriate and acceptable sacrifice, there was fire that moved between the pieces, came down from God, and no other fire is going to do. I want to suggest to you that when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all together and they were in one mind and one accord, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and begin to speak in other tongues. Now in Acts 8 they get the Holy Ghost, but it doesn't mention the fire. In Acts 10 they get the Holy Ghost, but it doesn't mention the fire. In Acts 19 they get the Holy Ghost, but it doesn't mention the fire. No, they're just like Moses and Aaron. God gave the fire one time, and then he said, it's up to you to carry the fire now. Now it's up to you to carry the fire. And every time you strike up the altar, the fire of God. And every time you strike up the incense, the fire of God. Pentecost was 2,000 years ago. But my God, when I got the Holy Ghost, John said, I've come to baptize you with water unto repentance, but there's one coming after me that's going to baptize you. I'm not even worthy to carry his shoes. He's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with... Somebody says, what? What's he going to baptize you with? Fire. My God, when you get the Holy Ghost, you get fire. And the fire of God moved between those cherubs. A lamp moving between them. The first thing I thought when I read that was, that's just exactly the description of the fire that moved between the pieces of Abraham's sacrifice. A smoking lamp. A fire moved between them. And indicated by the fire of God that it was an acceptable sacrifice. Where you find the fire is where you find an acceptable sacrifice. The sons of Baal screamed and shouted and hollered and prayed all day, cut themselves with stones, and never got so much as a spark. And Elijah said, step back, friends. And he laid on the altar because he was in covenant with God. And he knew what God loved. He laid out an acceptable sacrifice before God. And he said, watch this. Go go get water. They doused that sacrifice in that altar with enough water to fill up the altar area and the trench that was round about it. And he prayed a little simple prayer. And he backed off. And God sent down fire on an acceptable sacrifice. These cherubs are representative of the children of God in the New Testament. And the fire of God is an integral part of the apostolic experience poured out on the day of Pentecost. Exactly the fulfillment of the typology of the fire that came on the altar of Aaron and Moses. Thereafter, they would carry it in the fire pans themselves. Yet it was essential to everything that they did, because there's no fire like the fire of God. And when that fire came down at Pentecost, it spread in Jerusalem and into Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the earth. And everywhere men and women received the Holy Ghost, they also received the fire. But it was up to those that received it first to carry it and to keep it and to be the guardian of it and to make sure it was delivered to another generation of those who would have the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. There's fire in this experience, and it's necessary, because you go into that holy place without the fire of God, you're going to die. It's just as important as the washing of a laver as you enter into the presence of God. Got to have the fire. Somebody say, you got to have the fire. But tell your neighbor, you've got to have an acceptable sacrifice. My God, you can't just bring anything you want to bring and have God rain down fire on it. You can't just treat it any way you want and have that biblical experience of the Holy Ghost and fire. Praise God. Somebody that's glad for the Holy Ghost and the fire tonight, you give God praise if you would. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm not going to keep you any longer tonight. You get up too early and you work too hard. Let's stand together. Verse 14, and the living creatures ran. Praise God. I just gave you scripture for running in church. And the living scriptures ran, and they returned like lightning. I thought about that tonight when I saw our young men running. Wish I had a freeze frame of that. People don't understand us. They come to the house of God and they see us act like that. What are you doing? You're running and nobody's chasing you. What are you doing? You know, if you don't have the Holy Ghost tonight, all of this business about plugging into God and connecting with God's people and covering yourself by a spiritual experience, none of that makes a lot of sense to you. But I'm going to tell you, like David said, come taste and see that the Lord, He is good. God will fill you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And who knows? You might be like these cherubs in that 14th verse. They run. And they're fast as lightning when they run. Praise God. Praise God. I wish tonight I could shut off all the light, ambient light and everything, and make it as dark as Carlsbad in here. If I could do that, I would take a lamp like a flashlight or something, and I would just, and when I did it, what would be impressed as your optical processes resolved, you'd see a streak like lightning. I think what Ezekiel saw He saw people that were on fire running. He said when those cherubs would run, they were like lightning. He's not talking about their speed. He's talking about the optical effect, the visual effect. He said those people leave a streak of fire behind them when they run. Praise God. You can't see our wings. And you can't see the fire. And you may think we're a little bit crazy in all of our fanatical behavior. And I know that if I took off running tonight, all you would see was a middle-aged, bald-headed guy running. But you don't know. I've got wings. And when I've got them on high, there's a flow of something from another world that comes down into my life and in my home and on my babies and in my world. And it makes... You can't see my wings. But tonight, I'm hooked up with some of the greatest people that have ever walked on the face of the earth. You don't know it and you can't see it. But we're walking. I'm telling you, my God, somebody ought to be giving God praise for the people of God right now. I said the people of God are the greatest people on the face of the earth. And I'm so glad. To all the cynics and the skeptics and the backsliders that have a sourpuss attitude, I know more about this church than anybody in this house. You can bring all your bilge and give it all to me. I've already heard it. And you don't know the half of it. Well, let me tell you about all the failures I know about. And let me tell you about that one. And let me tell you about that one. And let me tell you about that. Oh, let me tell you about this one. Well, you can if you like. But I already know. And you don't know the half of it. But if you could just for a moment step up out of that hellhole that you're living in. And come over here where I'm standing. All I see is people that are covered up by their wings, by their spiritual experience in the kingdom of God, by what God has given them. Thank God that we're covered by blood, and we're covered by grace, and we're covered by that Holy Ghost anointing. My God, praise God. Pray. Is anybody in this house a bigger wretch as I am? I mean, you sing it when you sing Amazing Grace. What did you think you were saying? Hallelujah. And you can't see it, but when I do run, I leave lightning behind me. I think probably I've got lightning bolts on the side of my wings. You can't see it. Not yet. But there's coming a day, Brother Cedric. It's coming a day. Right after we get settled in from that trump sounding. And I don't know if we're just coming right back immediately on those white horses or what. You'll have to talk to Irvin Baxter and figure all that out. But as soon as we get a minute, Brother Cedric, as soon as we get a minute, I'm going to get back off as far as I can. And I'm going to get me a big head of steam and a running start. And when I hit that street of gold, I'm going to slide for miles and miles and miles. My God, somebody give God praise tonight for your wings and for the covering and for the fire. And for the brothers and the sisters. And for letting us be a part. My God, no, no. Somebody give God high praise in the house tonight. Somebody get your wings up. If you've got a stain on your garment, bring it down to this altar. If your wings have turned into little chicken wings because you haven't been using them, come on down to this altar tonight. Recommit yourself to the things of God. If you never received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, come on, God will give you the Holy Ghost tonight. You never been down in the water in Jesus' name, we'll put you down. We got water tonight. If you're first down here, step up. Make room. Come on, get your wings up. Either get your wings up or hooked up with somebody. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, mighty God. We're standing on holy ground in the presence of God. And I know that there are angels, they're all around. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Get your wings up. Hook up with somebody. Let us praise Him. Let us praise Him. Let us praise Him. Jesus now. In His presence. And this is holy ground. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, praise Him tonight. Hallelujah. We're standing. Oh, we're standing on holy ground. Wherever He is, it's holy. Yeah, 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 yeah. And I know that there are angels. They're encamped round about those that are born again, that love His ways. Hallelujah. Let's praise Him. Let's praise Him. Somebody open up a portal. Somebody get your wings plugged in. God can pour out the Holy Ghost tonight. Hallelujah. Get your wing around somebody. Hook up together tonight. Hey, we are standing, yes, on holy ground. And I know that there are angels.
I know that there are angels.
They're all around.
All
around. Hey, oh, let us praise Him. Let's praise Him. Let's praise
Jesus.
We're standing in His presence. Press in just a little bit more, church. I believe God can give these the Holy Ghost tonight. We are standing. I believe God can pour out the Holy Ghost right now, church. Somebody let it cloud up in this house. I know that there are angels.
Hey.
Hey, yeah. Let us praise Him. Let us praise Him.
is it. If you've got the Holy Ghost, let that heavenly language flow through your vessel right now. Somebody's going to get the Holy Ghost here right now. Right now. Come on. We are standing. Let's offer up God some praise right now and magnify His name. How awesome it is to be a part of the kingdom of the living God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Well, God bless you. It is so good to be in the house of the Lord with you tonight. God is doing great work. There's going to be an outstanding crowd of young people here on Friday evening. If you have neighbors or friends or you know a backslider, call them and tell them to come. There's no telling what will happen in the house. My God, God's going to move in a wonderful way. And then Sunday we're going to have wall-to-wall revival Sunday morning and Sunday night. We're just excited about what God is about to break loose in Birmingham. God bless you. Be sure to strengthen and bless somebody before you leave the house this evening.